We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we count it a privilege and an honor to bring you the Word of God. So want to let you know we're just a couple of weeks away. It won't be this Sunday, but we do a little bit different type of back to school outreach. This year we're tweaking it, and we're doing it a little different than we did last year. And so just to give you a heads up, we are going to be on August the 2nd, we're going to be having our back to school giveaway. It's going to be on Sunday morning. And what we do, there's a lot of churches, and what we do is we try not to do what other people are doing. We try to meet needs that other people aren't meeting. If everybody's meeting the same need, then it's no longer a need. And so we've adjusted, and what we do is we offer a new pair of shoes to the kids that are in our children and youth ministry. And so we're going to be giving away to the first 50 kids that show up on August the 2nd. We're going to be giving them away a new pair of shoes. Now shoes are different than school supplies. Everybody, you know, needs pens and paper and pencils and all of that sort of stuff, notebooks and folders. But when it comes to shoes, everybody wears a different size. And so in order for us to have this giveaway, we're asking people to come and attend church at our place on July the 26th. And at that point in time, we're going to be, you know, asking for names and shoe sizes. And then when the kids come back the next week for August the 2nd, we are going to be just having a huge event geared towards the kids and blessing them with new pairs of shoes. And it's just going to be a great day. And so want to let you know that that's coming up. Now, it does require that kids come to church. And I just explained the logistical reason why. We need them. We need to know what size shoes to get them. And then the next week we or in the process of that week, we're going to go out and buy the shoes. Then when they come to church the next week, we're going to be presenting those shoes. So that's what's coming up. If you are in the Merritt Island, Central Brevard County area, you either know somebody who could use a pair of shoes for their kids for school. I mean, when my kids were in school, it was always kind of mind-blowing how expensive it was to equip them to go to school. And so this is one way that we can offer a small blessing to the parents and help to meet the needs that they have. When I was growing up, it was always an exciting time because we would get a new outfit and a new pair of shoes. That's what my grandmother would do for us when we went to school. And so if you know kids that could be a benefit from that, put those dates on your calendar, July the 26th and August the 2nd. I think school starts around August the 12th, if I'm not mistaken. So that will give them time to get them broken so they don't get blisters on the first day of school. We do want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andryk, 759-3284. Last week I was in my office and someone called and they told me that Bill had helped them a number of times with their air conditioning problems. And so we are thankful for that is really being a blessing. Isn't that really what the body of Christ is about? It's about connecting people who have a need with the person who can solve the need that they have. Isn't that what Jesus does? He came to save sinners. Without him coming, we were hopeless in our sins. And so very, very thankful for, you know, the fact that the sponsors that we have here on the radio, that they're able to help meet needs that people have. I want to take you today. I want to go back into the Word of God, and I'm going to talk briefly. I don't think we're going to be here for weeks and weeks. I just want to talk to you for a little bit about Joseph, and Joseph in Genesis chapter 30 is where we're going to learn about him. Joseph was the son of Jacob. And so I just want to touch on a few highlights, and then after that we're going to get back into the Lord's Prayer, where it talks about deliver us from evil. And so I don't know, you know, we may spend a week here on Joseph. We may spend three or four broadcasts. I don't really know yet. But when, you know, when it's time to move on, we will move on. Joseph's story begins pretty interesting. In Genesis chapter 30, verse number 1, it says this: "Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, 'Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?'" And so let's just begin looking there, because this is really the beginning place of where Joseph comes from. Joseph was longed for by his mother, who was Rachel. Joseph was Rachel's firstborn. And while Leah was producing all sorts of kids, even though Rachel was the wife that Jacob loved, there was something inside of her that said, "I need to have a child." And now I want to put a different twist on this than just biological children. Because I love my children. I really do. You know, my son's got a wonderful event that is coming up here in a few weeks that we'll be celebrating, you know, that just a wonderful milestone event. We're thankful for him, for our daughter-in-law, and our kids. But the desire for children, I believe that is a desire that God wants to create in the church as well. I believe that we need to realize, and especially in America in 2015, that we need to be producing disciples or we will die. One of the reasons that so much demise is taking place in America currently, as far as our moral conditions, is because we have been inadequate over the past decades in producing disciples. Does it mean we haven't produced disciples? No, that's not what it means at all. But it means that we have not had it to the level of priority that it reached in Rachel's life. And Rachel's, when she saw that there were others that were being fruitful and she wasn't being fruitful, even though those people did not have the amount and the caliber of love being bestowed upon them that Rachel was having being bestowed upon her, there was something inside of her, and she says, she went to her husband and said, "Give me children or I'm going to die. Give me children or I'm going to die." It has been talked about the graying of the church, the aging of the church, and we have been thankful over the past couple of years that our church demographics have been getting younger, and that's not been by accident. It has been by design, because several years ago I was praying back in 2005 and 2006, 40% of our congregation scattered across the country. It wasn't because there was a church split. It wasn't because of, you know, anybody getting mad or anything like that. There were retirements. There were job relocations. There were transfers. There were people moving away for family reasons. there was just a major shifting. And at that point in time, it gutted kind of our leadership team. We lost our girls ministry, our boys ministry, our youth ministry, our children's ministry, a lot of our workers, our adult Sunday school teacher. We lost board members. It was a traumatic year. And rather than being discouraged and just throwing up the hands and saying, well, you know, that's it. But I want you to know it was hard on the pastor. It was kind of like every week somebody was coming to me and saying, Pastor, I need to talk to you after service. And it's like, oh no, you know, here's another one that's leaving. And, so, you know, it kind of got to the point where if somebody said they wanted to talk to you, you got a little gun shy right away and, almost adopted the mindset. Well, the last person out as you're leaving, would you shut out the lights on your way out? Would you be so kind to do that? But God wasn't through with Merit Assembly of God yet. In fact, it wasn't that our best days were behind us. Our best days were in front of us. And so I want to encourage you that if there is some discouraging situations or lifeless situations going on in your life, don't think that those are terminal, that there's no hope, because God is a turnaround specialist. Remember, he is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection, by very definition of the word, requires something to have been alive that has now died, that now has been resurrected and returned to a condition of life. God is a resurrection specialist. You see, it's easier to give birth to something than it is to raise something from the dead. People are born every day. We are amazed when we hear the stories about something that has been alive, that has died, and has now come back to life. I am very thankful for the resurrection story of Merit Assembly of God. So we set out, and I began to pray and said, God, what would you have for us to do? And I'd been a former youth pastor. Now, my wife at one point in time told me that I was the world's worst youth pastor, not because I was, you know, bad at doing my job. I just was boring where other people were exciting. I'm probably a better youth pastor now. I was probably a better youth pastor in my 40s as a senior pastor than I was as a youth pastor in my 20s. I've done some crazy, crazy things that I kind of scratch my head and say, man, I really need some young people to come up, but so that they can do those sermon illustrations instead of me doing them. But I began to pray, and God said, if you want to build a youth ministry, you've got to first start building a children's ministry. At that point in time, we had two kids in our children's ministry, and you know, there are times now when we have as many as 18. And like I said, with our shoe outreach, we're attempting to reach 50 people, 50 kids on that day. But remember, it requires that they come to church and they be there the 26th of July and August the 2nd. So begin to get the word out now. And we're very excited about that. We feel like we have the funds that we're going to be able to do this. But, you know, if we have a whole bunch of kids that show up, you know, then we'll ask God to stretch our faith and stretch his provision. So we began to say, God, we need you to bring children in. And so we began to focus on doing that, because we recognized that if God did not give us new believers, if he did not give us new disciples, if he did not give us new adults, if he did not save people in their sins, that our church was not going to survive, because people get older every year. People die every year. And on average, a church has to grow about 30% every year just to break even. And then when you gut that and you start losing half of your congregation, you've got to realize you've got to double your congregation every year just to be able to see a moderate amount of growth. Give me children or else I die. Now, the problem that Rachel had was this. Rachel was asking her husband to do something that only God can do. Rachel focused all of her attention on Jacob and said, Jacob, give me children or else I die. Now, here's the thing. Jacob had already demonstrated that the problem wasn't with him. The problem was with Rachel. Right now, to a large extent, we may be pointing our fingers at society and the world, and we're saying, you know, it's just because of the adverse conditions in the world, someone else is the problem. But I believe that it is time for the church to look in the mirror and say, God, you are saving souls by the tens of thousands in China. You are saving souls and by the tens of thousands in South America and Central America and Africa. You're doing that on a regular basis. God, the problem isn't that you have stopped saving souls. You are doing that other places. God, what is going on inside of me that is preventing me from making the disciples? And I want you to know that's not just a question that I ask you. That's a question that I ask myself whenever I hear of something and that is going on. And I say, okay, what is it that I need to do differently in order to produce more new believers for Jesus Christ? Listen, I'm not just interested in making converts. I'm not just interested in having people raise their hand and say a prayer and walk out the door and live in the same mess that they walked in the door with. But instead, Jesus commanded us to make disciples, make followers of Jesus, who in turn will make other followers of Jesus. And so Jacob, he responded and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Now, Rachel was arrogant. Rachel had all of the natural gifting. She was beautiful. If you remember the story, Jacob was infatuated with Rachel. He fell in love with her the first time he saw her. He wanted to marry her, but instead Laban deceived him and substituted Rachel on his wedding night with Leah. He gave Leah instead of Rachel, and he said, oh, well, we can't give the younger child away before the older child is married. So you get both of them, and by the way, thank you for working for me for another 7 years. I've told on the radio program here about at our wedding rehearsal when my wife, who is the younger of these two particular sisters, she's not the youngest, but she is the younger of these two sisters, and her older sister was not married at the time, and at the wedding rehearsal, when it came time to practice our vows, my wife Cindy stepped away from taking the vows, and her older sister stepped up, and I started saying, whoa, I don't know what's going on here, but I've read my Bible, And I know all about Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and you know, I still think about how funny that is. And they said, no, it's just, you know, she's just standing in because then Cindy's going to say those words tomorrow, so she'll be practicing them over here. And it's like, okay, but Dylan, if Cindy's not standing here tomorrow, this wedding is not happening. You know, you've just got to laugh at the things that go on in life. So as a result of everything that goes on, there comes a time when God remembers Rachel. And if you drop down to verse number 22 of chapter 30, it says this, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. One more thing before I talk about this. There came a time when Leah's son Reuben had brought some things in from the field that were considered fertility aids. And Rachel said, you know, that's I need those. I need these mandrakes is what they were. They were an aphrodisiac of the day, and I need those. If I have those, I can have a child. And she went to Leah, and Leah said, oh, well, you've taken my husband, and now you want to take my son's mandrakes. and Rachel was willing to sacrifice her intimacy with Jacob for these aphrodisiacs. And church, I want you to know that we cannot make the same mistake in 2015. Programs are great. They're fine. They're wonderful. But what we need, if we are going to produce life, is we need intimacy with Jesus. We need intimacy with our Savior. And if we substitute a program for his presence, we are not going to experience the life and the blessing and the fruitfulness that God wants for us. Instead, we will find ourselves barren because programs cannot produce disciples. Programs can produce a crowd, but it takes the Word of God, it takes the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, it takes a relationship with Jesus to produce a transformed life. So I want to encourage you to have an intimate, in these days and times of adverse relationships that Christians have in our society, we have got to have the presence of Jesus Christ. We've got to get back to the essentiality of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and our presence. So we come to verse number 22, and it says, God remembered Rachel, God listened to her and opened her womb. If you have not been fruitful, God has not forgotten the purpose that he created you for. I would to God that our church was so interested in making disciples, not just Merit Assembly of God, but all of the churches, that we would be crying out to God and say, God, remember us. Remember us. God, you know, we've got all of these things here to help make disciples, but Lord, we need you to do something on your part. Lord, would you remember us? Would you hear our prayers? And would you do what is necessary? Listen, the problem that was going on was there was something inside Rachel that was shut that needed to be open. There was something inside Rachel that was shut that God needed to open. And when he opened it, all of a sudden, she was able to produce the fruit that she wanted to produce. She wanted to produce a son, and God enabled her to do that. I want to ask you, is there something in your life today that God needs to open or unclog or do a work in your life to transform us? Because I do believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he could save thousands in Jerusalem in one day, I believe that he could save thousands in America in one day. God, do whatever is necessary inside of us so that we are no longer fruitless, but that we will be fruitful. This is not really a study on Rachel. This is a study on Joseph. Joseph is the answer. Joseph is the fruit of what took place when God did that work in Rachel's heart. She had a desire. She tried the wrong strategy, and then she began to cry out to God, and God heard her, and he opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph, and literally Joseph means he will add another. You see, the great thing about life is that whenever you experience it, you want more of it. Whenever you experience a miracle, you want to see more people have a miracle. And so when this child came forth, she said, if God could do it once, God could do it again. And if you saw somebody saved at your church last week, praise God. Thank God for that testimony and believe him for even more. Don't reach that level of contentment that you say, well, he saved all of my family, but I don't really care about those other families. God wants all to come to repentance. He wants to restore value to every person's life, spiritually and relationally. And so when this baby came, she named him Joseph, and she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. You see, so every time you meet a person by the name of Joe, you've got to realize that his name goes all the way back to a woman who refused to accept barrenness in her life. And every time you see that, it's may the Lord add another. On this Monday morning or afternoon, whatever time you're listening, may God add another. If it's been a while since you produced a disciple or led somebody to Jesus or sowed seeds into someone's life, may there be a cry that Rachel cried that begins to arise in your heart and in the heart of the church. God, give us children. Give us spiritual children. Give us disciples. Give us young people. Lord, give us senior citizens before they're promoted into eternity. Give us children, lest we die. We're separated from the life of God. Lord, we are crying out to you for what only you can do. We're not going to accept just a program when what we really need is your presence. God, if there is something going on inside of me, do whatever is necessary. God, if it's a wrong attitude towards somebody that I know, Lord, would you correct my attitude? God, if it's because of bitterness in my life, would you purge me of that bitterness? God, if there's something that is closed off, would you open that door so that I can have the faith to that you can use me to change this condition in my life? And God, when you do it once, may you do it again. May you add another. May you add another. How many of our churches have room for one more person this coming week? How many kids in our youth group we've got room to touch one more child this week? One more young man, one more young woman. It'll never happen without the presence of God. You can be the most intellectual, you can have all of the greatest tools, but I'm telling you, it takes God working in people's life in order to cause them to be born again. Can we cry out for some Josephs this week? God, I just pray right now that if there's anything in me that needs to change so that I can win more people for your kingdom, I pray that you would do that work right now. God, I pray that every pastor, every person that's listening would realize that it is unacceptable for us to die without bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. That it's not just somebody else's responsibility, but God, give me a soul. Give me a life transformed. And Lord, when you've done it once, do it again. Add another. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve.